Well, this week was a big week for me. Had my third grandchild this week. I mean, ordinarily I'd let Jeremy tell you the news, but he won't be here for probably another week. I tried to tell him to come tonight, but he wouldn't. Yeah, they had a baby. Was it Thursday? No. Okay, it was Wednesday. I can't even remember. I'm sorry. Wednesday, yeah. 20 hours of labor. Ended in a cesarean. So they'll be in the hospital maybe, I think, a day or longer, more. But anyway, 9 pounds, 4 ounces. Big baby boy. Beautiful baby boy. Lots of hair. Jeremy tried to get it to stand up in the middle, but it didn't work yet. But it probably will the first time he shows up. I'll make sure he has a custom-made leather coat, too. It's pretty cool being a grandfather. Got to go out with my other two grandsons the other night for the first time. Kathy and I, we went to Applebee's and had chicken fingers. I haven't had chicken fingers in 10 years. I don't know, I don't usually eat chicken fingers, but they like chicken fingers. So we ate chicken fingers and fries and made a mess with crayons. That was nice. So tonight is called Twisted Ankles and Nasty Computers. Yeah. Anybody else agree computers are nasty? Man. So last week I was sharing with you about fleas and wounds. You remember that? So I thought I'd better come up with a different name for tonight. Something kind of same but different. So I thought Twisted Ankles and Nasty Computers might do. And last week our theme verse was sort of from the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where I'll read it kind of reverse. I'll read the last part first. It says, "This is God's will for you in Christ. Rejoice always. Pray continually. In every circumstance, give thanks." So I was sharing with you the story of Corrie ten Boom in the concentration camp during World War II and the fleas that they found, she and her sister, in their bed, and how God used those fleas for a good purpose, but she didn't see that in the beginning, and she wasn't thankful for them. And then I shared with you about my daughter's wounds and how God used those wounds to lead us on a path to at least help begin to get her skin better than it's been in a long, long time. And we looked at the verse in Isaiah. It says God works in mysterious ways. We don't know the ways that God's going to work. And then we looked at Romans 8, that God works everything for good in our lives. And then we looked at Psalms, and Psalms says this. It says, "The steps of a man or woman are established by the Lord. They're directed by the Lord, for He delights in every detail of their lives." Well, I ended the message with asking you to pray for me, because there is no doubt, and I share this freely, there is no doubt that I need to really grow in obeying 1 Thessalonians. I just need to do it. I just need to do it. And, you know, it's easy to be thankful for the things that are good that come into our lives. It might be a job. It might be an unexpected check. It might be a delicious meal. It might be a phone call from a friend. It might be a new relationship. It might be a new pair of jeans. It might be something special that you're looking forward to that finally arrived. I don't know what it is, but it's very difficult to thank God for the things that you hate. It's very difficult to thank God for the things that your feelings tell you. This is pathetic. This is not good. This is not fair. Why is this happening in my life? And of course, when those things happen, it's also very unsettling for us. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that the things that you're thankful for, the good things, they bring you joy, but the things you're not thankful for are very unsettling, they rob you of peace, and they leave you conflicted emotionally, at least many times. So as it would have it, and I knew this was going to happen, God, whenever He tries to build something into your life, He tests you in it. So that's where my title comes from, Twisted Ankles and Nasty Computers. So the other day, I was looking at a car. I need to get a different car. And I've been driving past this car for a month, praying about the car. Talked to the guy about the car. He kept saying he had somebody to buy the car. So I just kept waiting, kind of waiting on the Lord to confirm whether or not I should get the car. Did some research on the car. So the other day I went to see the car and talked to the guy about it, and it was raining. And I just got done. My son had taken me there. Jeremy, this was obviously a Tuesday before the baby. And so we get all done looking at the car, and it's raining out, and I'm stepping out of this guy's business, and I'm right in front of all these people. And I wear boots. One of the reasons I wear boots, besides the fact that I like them, is because I have a very, very bad right ankle from turning double plays in seventh grade. Kid decided when I turned a double play to tag him out, he decided to karate chop my ankle. And he karate chopped it on purpose, and it's never been the same since. And even in high school, I'd just be walking down the hall, and I'd just fall into a heap screaming in pain because this ankle would go out from under me, and I would just sprain it really badly. So I stepped down, what I thought was very carefully. The next thing I know, I've landed on my hip on the concrete in a giant puddle of water, and I'm writhing in pain in front of this guy and my son and two of his employees on the ground. And my ankle, I can feel, is just swelling up. It's kind of the size of my fist. And my first reaction is, I won't tell you. And it's not pleasant. I'm not feeling pleasant emotions. And, they come over and they try to lift me up, and it throbs. I mean, I don't know if you've ever really sprained your ankle bad, if you haven't, but it's really horrific pain. And I'm hobbling the car, and I've got to drive this car home myself, and I'm trying to think, how am I going to push on the pedal and the brake? I can't even stand on it. I can't stand on my toe, and I'm sitting in the car, and that verse, and this whole message, fleas and wounds, is going through my mind. And I'm like, I'm really in a lot of pain. And tears are kind of streaming down my eyes. And he says, Lord, thank you right now. Thank you, I sprained this ankle. Thank you, Lord, I stepped out. I fell into a puddle of rain. Thank you, Lord, I embarrassed myself in front of all these people. Thank you, Lord, you knew what you're doing with my life. You put that step there. I don't know why, but you know. It's good enough that you know. And I'm going to thank you that I sprained my ankle. Well, I kind of prayed all the way home because it was really throbbing. I thought maybe I should just pray on my drive home. It was about a 20-minute drive. And so I prayed about some other things. And next morning I get up and I thought, you know, I should write Kathy a letter. So I get on the computer and I have problems with my wrist, but I try to type out as fast as I can. So I've been working on this letter for 45 minutes. And I got this 2- or 3-page letter, really nice letter that I'm going to give to my wife. And all of a sudden I realized, well, I should probably get up and go to the bathroom. So I left my computer right where it was, and everything was just set. I go to the bathroom, I come back, it's gone. The letter, 40, it's gone. And right away, I was not feeling pleasant emotions. So first, I tried to stay calm. I thought, well, maybe it's there. I don't type anything in Word documents. I type them in an email. Then when I get halfway through, I send it to myself to save it in case the computer shuts off. Then I copy and paste, put it in another one, and then I just print. That's just my stupid, tacky system. I don't really know how to use a computer except for email. So I'm baffled. And all of a sudden, I feel the sense of rage. I'll just call it what it was. Rage began to come over me. I want to smash the thing. I want to rip it from its... I just want to do some nasty things. This is all transpiring, you know, in milliseconds. And all of a sudden, I just put my hands on the table and I said, Lord, what did I just talk about? Fleas and wounds. Lord, my ankle yesterday, so right now, Lord, thank you. I lost 45 minutes of work. You know, I don't have the strength to type it. I don't hardly even remember what I wrote. It took me so much effort. My wrists hurt. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You must not have wanted me to give that note to Kathy. Thank you, Lord, that you probably want me to do this again. That's fine. I just accept it from you. My steps are directed by you. You have a plan for this, Lord. Okay, so right now, I'm just going to go cut my hair. So I cut my own hair. You probably noticed that, but that's okay. So anyway, I'm just telling you right now, This is not me. Normally, I could not do this. I certainly would not. I might kind of be shaken a little bit with anger to go cut my hair. And all of a sudden, I began to notice over the next several days, this whole last week, every single day, including today, there were some really heavy emotional things that happened. And God was asking me, are you going to thank me? Are you going to honor me? Are you going to trust me? Do you believe, Mark? Is your faith meaningful enough to believe that I'm working in the details of your life, even when the details feel bad? I read this verse today, and I'll share it with you in Psalm 50. The Lord is speaking here. And He says, what I want instead of your sacrifice, you know, your bulls and your goats, what I want instead is your true thanks to God. I want you to fulfill your vows to the Most High. Trust me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Wow, is that pointed? Is that challenging? And ever speak to my heart? I think if we're all really honest, if we're really, really honest, 9 times out of 10, in circumstances we don't like, we never thank God for them. Maybe for some of us, it's 10 times out of 10. We're like, you got to be out of your mind. Why would I thank God for what I don't want? Why would I thank God for what makes me feel bad? Why would I thank God for this pathetic sprained ankle? Why would I thank God that I got a flat tire on my bike? Why would I thank God? Because it honors God, and God's finding out, do you trust me? Do you believe that I'm really working in your life? Do you believe that I'm going to cause all things to work for good? See, He has to cause them to work for good, because right now they don't feel good. They don't appear good, but we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm going about my week, and I come to this verse in Psalm 119. I'll share with you. It says, make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that's where my happiness is found. You ever thought about happiness? That where does happiness come from? In our society, generally speaking, the definition of happiness is getting what I want. You really don't have to go much farther than that. Happiness equals getting what I want. Have you ever noticed that, generally speaking, people who have what they want aren't happy? Because the more you have, the more you want. And it's a vicious cycle. And Solomon teaches this in Ecclesiastes. I was reading a quote today from, I'm not going to get the name right, the brothers Karamazov or something like that. And the gist of it was this. The more freedoms that man has, man thinks he's really free. He's not free at all. He's enslaved to his appetites. And his appetites always want. They always crave more. More food, more money, more pleasure. More, 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 more. And you're enslaved to them. They don't make you happy. They enslave you. We have many people that have come to the Rock over the years that are working very hard to overcome an addiction. An addiction is really something that, to put it in another way, is something that we've indulged ourselves in over and over and over again, thinking if we just have a little more, we'll get a little more happy, we'll be a little better, and then we become addicted. Or another way to think of it is we become enslaved. This is the way that we are without God, you see. This is the way of the flesh. This is the way of natural man. Natural man is enslaved all the time. But when we walk along the path of God's commands, this is what Jesus meant when He said, when you know the truth will set you free. God's truth sets us free from the taskmaster of our lower nature, of all that we crave, of all that we're enslaved to. This is why the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and will take nothing with us. If you have food and clothing, be content. I'll bet you could count on one hand the number of truly content people you have met in your life. Maybe you've never met a truly content person, a person who's simply thankful for what they have, period. We're driven, aren't we, by consumerism, by affluence, by always wanting more. The power of thankfulness, here's the power of thankfulness. First of all, it's a command of God. You know, we know the Ten Commandments. I won't go through all of them, but you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. And it goes down the list. But did you know that giving thanks in all circumstances is right on par with don't murder? It's a command from God. And all of God's commands, here's the thing. All of God's commands, none of them benefit God. None of them. I mean, God doesn't need his commands. He just lives righteously all the time. His commands are for my benefit. Your benefit. Your benefit. God's telling you not to covet your neighbor's wife because coveting your neighbor's wife is only going to lead to a very frustrating life and a lot of problems in your life. It's not because God's trying to keep something from you. So when God says, in everything give thanks, in all circumstances, here's something really interesting. I've been pondering the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul had an extremely difficult life. That's not an understatement. He had an extremely difficult life. He was beaten countless times. When I say beaten, I mean his back was ripped open raw hundreds of times, nerve endings, flesh, all mingled together, and he never received medical treatment. He was whipped, flogged, then thrown into a prison. Often he was put with his feet in stocks and his hands in stocks. And yet it's the Apostle Paul. He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He spent many a cold night naked in a jail cell. He was maligned. He was persecuted. His name was slandered. But it's Paul who writes over and over, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. In everything, give thanks. And it's the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, when he's one of the first times he's thrown in jail, they've been beaten severely. And their hands and their arms are in what's known as stocks. And at midnight, they're singing. And I began to realize, you know, Paul knew something I didn't know. Paul knew that power in the Christian life comes, that peace in the Christian life comes from thankfulness. And when I'm not thankful, what happens is I start to get resentful. I start to get bitter. I start to get negative. I start to get critical. And everything in the world just looks bad. And it drains me of my strength. But when I, by faith, trust God, say, you know what, God? This doesn't make sense to me, but you've asked me to do it because you asked me to do it. I'm going to do it. Thank you for this. Thank you that you are working in ways I don't understand, but I thank you that you know what you're doing with my life. Thank you for this trial. Thank you. Again, I want to be clear. I've shared this with you before. That doesn't mean we don't have sorrow. That doesn't mean we don't grieve. It means we don't stay there. And we walk along God's commands. Well, so today, God brought to mind this verse. And I thought I would share it with you in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God is writing to the children of Israel after he's delivered them through the Exodus of Egypt. Almost 2 million people. I don't know if you knew that. Moses led 2 million people, slaves, out of Egypt. They crossed the Jordan by a miracle. And now they're out in the desert living day by day in the hot, in the sand, no refrigeration, no stocks of food. And they were there for 40 years. Men, women, and children. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Keep and live out the entire commandment that I'm giving you today, so you will live and prosper and enter and own the land that I promised you. Remember every road the Lord God led you on for these 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limit, testing you so that he would know what you were made of. Whether you would keep his commandments or not, he put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. Then he fed you with manna, something neither you nor your parents knew anything about, so you would learn that men and women do not live by bread only, but we live by every word that comes from God's mouth. I was sharing with my daughter this morning. I told you last week, but each morning I've been trying to write her a personalized devotional. It's been a very, very, very good discipline for my own life. I've never done anything like it. So every morning, real early in the morning, I take a verse or two. First, I just share some personal words of encouragement to my daughter. And then I move from that encouragement to some real circumstances, life circumstances that we're living through together. And I take God's word, and God's been using it so much in my life. And I was sharing with my daughter today, I said, you know, sweetheart, I said, you know how right now we have some medicines that doctors have given you that are really are helping you live. Just like those medicines help us live, or think of a diabetic with insulin, so God's word is medicine to our soul. And just like each day you have to make a choice to take that Dixie cup with water and swallow those medicines sitting on the shelf, they do you no good. So it is with God's word. When I take God's word in, it becomes life to me. We cannot live without the word of God. We can't live without God's promises, without God's truth, without God's guidance, without God's commands. And it's not just enough to know them, but when we do them, the Bible says, then we're blessed. Then we're blessed. So I was sharing with her, I said, sweetheart, pray for me today and for you and me together, that we remember that just as our body's seeking greater health, so our spirit, its health and vitality and growing health and vitality depend on our feeding on the Word of God, on choosing God's truth and choosing to do it. And when we do it, greater peace comes, greater strength comes, greater joy comes. When we don't, greater sorrow comes, pain comes, anxiety, worry, weakness, the lack of joy. And we're conflicted. And our insides are conflicted. I was reflecting the other day on a verse that probably many of you know. Do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. Let your requests may be known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You ever experienced a worried mind? You ever been really worried? Really, I mean, I have. I've been worried sick in my life before. Even as a Christian, as a pastor. Things just mental torment. And I'm not saying, you know, you're wrong if you've had mental torment. But what's interesting about that verse is that you don't experience the peace of Christ until you give all your requests to God with thanksgiving. And that's the part, we just kick it to the curb. We're just like, no way. No way am I thanking God that I've had diarrhea 15 times today. I'm not doing it. I'm not thanking God that I'm sitting in this hospital bed right now. I'm not thanking God that I lost my job today. I'm not thanking God that I don't have as much money as I thought I did today. I'm not thanking God that this relationship isn't going the way I thought it should. I am not. God can just take that verse and whatever. And you know what? It breaks God's heart, because God's not trying to, he's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to save you. And I've been realizing that this week in my life. How many things, Lord, I've missed out because I just didn't aggressively. And I want to really hammer on that word for a moment. Aggressively, not lackadaisically, but aggressively thank God for. For the trial. For the difficulty. I thanked Him multitudes of times. For His blessings. For His goodness. For His faithfulness. And in general ways, I have in the past thanked Him for, Lord, thank You that You have a purpose in this trial. But this week, with just a pinpoint specificity, I've just been each day, when something comes up in my life, that I'm like, boy, that makes me feel sick. I just pause. Say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for this right now. Help me, Lord. Help me. You have a purpose in it. You have a plan in it. You directed it in my life. And all I can tell you is that it's brought a greater peace to my soul. It's brought a greater perspective to my soul. And it's helped me manage my emotions in a better way, in a more productive way. And it's helped me to know that, God, I'm honoring You because this is a sacrifice that honors You, because it takes so much faith to say thank You for bad things. It takes faith. That's what takes faith. You see, when I say thank You, God, for that sprained ankle, what I'm really acknowledging is, Lord, You're God. You're sovereign. Every decision You make is wise. You don't make mistakes. You don't cheat me. Those who hope in You will never be disappointed. And I'm just acknowledging right now that You're over my life, that You're the Lord of my life, and You made this decision. You allowed it in my life. Like You allowed Joseph to get thrown into the hole, then sold into slavery, then stand up an auction block naked, then sold to Potiphar, then falsely accused of rape, then thrown into a prison cell for 13 years. And at the end of his life, he said to his brothers who had done all that to him, and he could have killed them all, he looked at them and he said, don't feel bad about what you did. What you meant for evil to hurt me, God turned it for good. Close with a story really challenged me the other day. This is about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I was talking with a doctor. This doctor, I don't know if he knows the Lord or not. He's a very spiritually minded individual. I think he's into an Eastern religion, possibly Buddhism. But he was just commenting, Mark, it's so important to be positive. Just positive. Just thankful and grateful. He said, you never know where, through whom, God is going to work. He said, let me tell you a true story. I was down in South America. I was in this giant city. And one of my friends was there. We were for a convention. And we were supposed to meet for dinner. I'd seen him earlier that day. And he didn't show up. Later that evening, I saw him. And he had a big black eye. And I said to him, I said, what happened to you? And he's smiling. He said, well, you'll never believe it. I got mugged tonight. And this doctor said, he said, why are you smiling? He said, well, that's the good part. Let me tell you. He said, I have had neck problems for 15 years. And I have gone to chiropractor after chiropractor, doctor after doctor. It's kept me awake at night. No one's been able to fix it. But tonight that guy grabbed me around the neck, put me in a headlock, took my billfold, smacked me. And when I got up, my pain was gone. Now, I know that's an extreme example. I understand that. And unfortunately, I wish I could say, I sprained my ankle. The guy felt so bad for me, he gave me the car. It didn't happen. That didn't happen. Not that it couldn't happen, but it didn't happen. But God used that story to remind me of Joseph. Except where this man instantaneously saw the good in the bad, Joseph's situation took about 15 years to unfold. And you know what? I can relate to that. Because I could stand here tonight and I could tell you a number of stories in my life that started out really bad. They stayed pretty bad. But I did keep trusting God in them. One of them, it took 6 years. One of them, it took 20 years. One of them took 11 years. And there are others. And at the end of those, they all turned out really good. Like they got turned inside out. See, remember something. God doesn't have time. He's not constrained by time. We're the ones sometimes who are waiting. We all wish we could be like that guy who got mugged and instantaneously we saw the good from the bad. We learn to walk by faith. It might be 5 years away. It might be 8 years away. I've been reminding my daughter and reminding myself that this massive, colossal trial that God has brought into our life has a happy ending. And that God, He says here in this psalm, that as you thank me, you are going to see my glory. And you'll give me glory, and I'll rescue you. And I will reveal to you my salvation. It's simply a matter of time. So once again, I'll close this service asking you if you would pray for me this week. I'll be praying for you, but I'd covet your prayers. That the Lord would help me to honor Him and give Him true thanks for the things that He brings into my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you are faithful, that you are good even when things feel bad, that you are fair even when things seem unjust. And Lord, we do go through unjust circumstances in our life, but you are over the person causing the injustice. When Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power of life and death over you?" Jesus said, "You have nothing except what's been given to you from above. No one, no boss, no authority, no circumstance has anything over us except what you've allowed for a moment for our good." And I tell you, Lord, I want you to drive that home to my heart and to my mind, to the heart and minds of my loved ones, to the heart and minds of each young man and woman here tonight. You're not a liar. You don't play with our emotions. You're not trying to hurt us. But yes, you will at times push us to our limit, push us beyond our limit. I was watching the other night the movie Facing Giants with my daughter when that coach has that young man put the other man on his back, tells him he wants him to go to the 50-yard line, ends up blindfolding him and going to the other end zone. He pushed him, and this young man found out he'd go beyond what he ever thought was his limits. You're trying to do something like that with us, not because you're mean, but because you love us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the difficulties and the challenges that you've allowed in my life. Thank you, God, you will rescue us from them. In Jesus' name, amen.